Welcome to Bankless Africa, a podcast by Africans on building and innovating Web3 into a new frontier for the people of Africa. I'm your host, Miss Purple, and each episode, I get together with some wonderful people across the continent and the diaspora to talk, ideate, and dream about the bright future of our people. Stay tuned for another exciting episode. And we're back this week. This is the second part of last week's conversation with Emmanuel Babalola, the Chief Executive Officer of Bundle Africa. And today we're going to be speaking to him as the CEO of Bundle. And I'm very excited. We're not going to do the usual intro that we tend to do in terms of your, you know, career experience, but we're going to now speak more specifically to Bundle. Can you tell us a bit about what it is and how it came about?
Yeah, so really excited to be here again. Thank you so much for having me. So Bundle basically is a social payment app for cash and crypto. And our focus is really innovating around how people do payments and how people trade crypto on the continent. We are, you know, available in Nigeria and Ghana as of today. And it was basically founded by Yele in 2020, who then left in 2021 to, you know, start a company called Nestcoin. So for us at Bundle today, it's really about, you know, growing that entire, ecosystem of products that we have and, you know, helping more and more people find value in using Bundle. Today we have, over, you know, 1 million downloads of the app, and our user base is growing exponentially on a monthly basis. So it's quite exciting that, you know, you see the joy you find when you're building tools and products that people use. It's quite profound.
I'm always very curious when I see this happen, and I understand that it's because of, you know, cost of opportunity. But, you know, you mentioned that Bundle is currently available in Nigeria and Ghana, and a lot of the things that, you know, that kind of break ground in Africa, they tend to start in those regions. And then the rest of us are just like a trickle down. So I'm curious to know if you are looking to expand to the rest of the continent, and also why you decided to start off with Nigeria and Ghana, the reasoning behind those two countries, and maybe say not Ethiopia and Lesotho, you know?
Okay. So generally, Nigeria is a country that I always say is the trigger, you know, for Africa, right? If you turn Africa like upside down and like it's positioned as a gun, Nigeria is that place where you have to, you know, use to enter the continent, basically. Countries like Ethiopia and Lesotho are definitely part of this strategy. Some of the biggest problems across Africa in terms of scaling any business, you know, are, you know, also infrastructure wise, right? If you look at available infrastructure and also available liquidity in those countries, you realize that like Africa definitely needs crypto. Some of the focus that, you know, we had at the beginning was obviously just, you know, kicking off the business in Nigeria and slowly expanding across the continent. And, you know, from country to country, there are certain key things that, you know, and key conditions that kind of like must be met before a crypto company, you know, can really thrive. People, users in Lesotho today currently can use Binance.com and, you know, trade crypto in terms of having a fiat on-ramp channel where they can buy, you know, convert their local currency to crypto, you know, that's kind of like still difficult. And that is the one of the biggest problems that Bundle also tries to solve in every country we go, to solve that fiat convertibility and also give you access to the entire crypto market. And we are doing this steadily. We are just 2 years old. So we are definitely coming gradually and steadily.
I do have to agree with you that, you know, it's been, we talked about it a bit in the previous episode, that Binance has, it's the entryway for many people. And I started off in Binance. I still love Binance. I use it quite a bit. And it's the place that taught me to experiment and to, you know, kind of play a little with what was possible out there. So, you know, of course, but then this also means that, unfortunately, because Binance is one of the only ones that is so open to accepting so many African nations, a lot of Africa is still more focused towards peer-to-peer transactions versus other things like, you know, getting into NFTs or anything of that sort. Do you think this is where the success of Bundle kind of rests in that attitude that we already have with being comfortable when it comes to peer-to-peer innovations and everything that relates to, you know, that kind of system?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that one of the biggest advantages Bundle has today is the fact that the market is already primed, right? Bundle is basically Instagram, if Binance is Facebook. At least that's what our users say. And one of the things that, you know, our users really enjoy is the simplicity that we provide in terms of all the key services you need, you know, in an exchange are found here in a very, very easy and like simple way. We built the largest decentralized payment network on Bundle called Cashlink, which today is very critical to our next phase, you know, of growth, because we believe that, you know, our goal is to increase the access of crypto across the continent. We want more and more people to be able to access crypto. You know, today Cashlink is a very important tool in that future, right? So that is kind of like our P2P product. So you can see how P2P itself has even affected an entire company in terms of our focus as an organization. So definitely all the work that has been done prior to Bundle launching in 2020 kind of like just has led up to the moment where it was just very, very pivotal to take advantage of all that you know, awareness that has been created locally. So today, Bundle is basically the fastest growing local app in Africa. And it is because of that. It took us 2 years to reach where, you know, companies who have been in the industry longer, you know, haven't reached or just reached. So that's kind of like how it has been for us.
Would you characterize Bundle as being more a crypto-facing company or a Web3-facing company?
Today, we are more crypto-facing. In the future, would be a hybrid kind of platform where we would have, you know, basically like a super app where, you know, we users of Bundle can have access to use third-party apps like Cashlink, like 3Air, like Bitrefill. All these apps are available today. Most of the apps are available today on Bundle, where you from Bundle, you can go and buy gift cards, you can go and buy, you know, airtime and all that good stuff. So we are trying to just ensure that while people are moving to Web3, we can help people moving from Web1 to come to Web2 and then move them to Web3. Because as I said earlier, we still have some fundamental problems in Africa that, you know, makes crypto to us not just about trading, but also about things like remittances, things like, you know, you earn a salary or you receive money from someone and you want to convert it to fiat in the best way and the fastest way possible. So those are kind of like things that we are kind of like ensuring that the basics are covered, right? And then also, on the other hand, ensuring that, you know, our users also have access to some of those advanced products that they would need to enjoy the full crypto experience.
What would you say the the reason people kind of use the words interchangeably is then to say both Web3 and crypto, because most people just look at Web3 and they assume that's all it means. It just means crypto. It just means, you know, the currencies that we're used to, that we're exchanging all the time, versus what it actually is. What's that thin line that kind of splits them from each other?
So I have actually also heard people compare Web3 to the metaverse and use it interchangeably. So so there's actually a very huge difference across all three concepts. Crypto is crypto, right? Crypto is a new way of, you know, doing commerce. It's Bitcoin is basically the money of the internet. It's the first time ever that we can do transactions. We can do successful transactions trustlessly on the internet without involving third parties. Now that is profound. It is just as impactful as when the internet launched. Today, many people do not know the radical changes to things like GPS, things like MP3 that the internet made possible, right? Today, people stream music online. So things are changing because of the internet. Now, the internet today is Web 2. The internet before Bitcoin was Web 2. The internet after Bitcoin became Web 3. Now, the Web 3 is an internet where there is true decentralization. An internet where there is an economy. Right. You see, I'm just giving different definitions of Web3. Web3 is an internet where it is possible to build a business on the internet that exists on its own without having to need any physical real-world interactions. Right. So in Web3, it is possible to build an economy. So if the internet makes the world a global village, crypto and blockchain will power the economy of that global village, which is then Web3. So Web3 isn't crypto. Web3 is an internet where blockchain powers it, right? Now, for the metaverse is basically universe or a virtual space where, you know, crypto and blockchain, you know, helps powers that economy there in that virtual space, right? So the metaverse is going to be possible because of the Web3 form of the internet, right? So it's kind of like a layered, you know, because A is possible, now B is possible. Because B is possible, now C is possible. But they are not all, they're not the same.
I think it's important, you know, to have that split between understanding what the different concepts are, because it makes a big difference in terms of how you approach the entire space as a whole. And I have seen on your website that even on the bundle side of things, you are still, you know, you're still focused on trying to educate people in terms of what each concept means and how to navigate the space. And, you know, I'm kind of seeing that common thread of wanting to educate and train people and make sure that people know what it is they're getting into, because I think that possibly comes from, you know, kind of a genuine desire to put together a group of people across the entire continent that are truly passionate about this new frontier and they can fully participate in it. Because as Africa, we have missed out on so much. And like you've, you know, mentioned earlier in your examples, that we're still so far behind and there's still so much ground to cover. But it is quite, you know, scary sometimes when you're in it to see just how far we still have to go. But it's also very exciting to realize that we're finally getting there. We're finally, you know, all kind of coming together to build on this journey and on this experience. Because for somebody like Yele to build and then, you know, move on to somebody else, and then for somebody like you to come in and say, you know what, I see the vision of this thing, I am truly passionate about what it means, and start building on it. And who knows, maybe in a few years you yourself can come up with something that's even more mind-blowing, and then you start building on that. But that evolution and that innovation continues on throughout the continent if we're open with, you know, sharing information versus gatekeeping it, and nobody really knows where to go and how to navigate all of that. So it's quite phenomenal to see all of that. I know that Bundle has an affiliate program. Can you talk us a bit about what that's about? Is that just you trying to get more people into it, or is there a deeper reasoning to you having an affiliate program?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So there are actually a number of reasons why. So back then when I was head of Binance Africa, one of the things that we used to really open up the markets is, you know, when we started like relying on our community and our users to also spread the word, right? And to, you know, get the benefits as well for that growth. We've seen over time that if people are incentivized directly to participate in the growth of an ecosystem, then, you know, true value is created for everybody. This is the whole idea of any Web3 business. You want to ensure this. That's why a company would issue a token, and, you know, people would want to have that token. Why? Because they are betting on the future of that company, that in the future, this company would be big. Imagine when WhatsApp started, I was basically, when I had WhatsApp on my phone, there was no other contacts in my phone that had WhatsApp. Imagine I had a chance to buy, you know, WhatsApp coins or something like that, or WhatsApp shares. You know, by now, probably that those shares would probably be a lot of money, right? So having your community, you know, be a part of your growth is very important. And that's what our affiliate program is about. More recently, we kicked off a huge program for our merchants. So our merchants are the people who provide the liquidity on our P2P platform called Cashlink. So basically, if you can compare Cashlink to a ride-hailing app like Uber and potentially maybe Corapay or Flutterwave having a baby, right? So here people basically take transactions to process transactions for people in a peer-to-peer manner, right? So merchants that do this earn rewards. So they earn from the transactions. So we have been pushing that, because one of the things we've realized as well is the profound opportunity that it is creating for all our merchants. Jointly, our merchants are making hundreds of thousands of dollars since we launched. And it's really profound, the value that all over 500 of them are getting from the program. So for us, it's really about giving everybody within the ecosystem value as we grow on the journey.
And I'd like you to talk us through just one of your products, which was something that piqued my interest a few days ago, was the Bundle Leveraged Token. Now, on your site, it says that leveraged tokens give you the ability to make or lose significantly more based on price movements. It's higher risk and it's definitely a higher reward for active traders on Bundle. What do products like this aim to achieve, you know, outside of, you know, of course, giving value to the community via the affiliate program? What does something like the leverage token give to the users of Bundle?
Yeah, very, very interesting. I think leverage tokens was one of the products that I always felt was, you know, quite impactful for our users. Leverage tokens are basically a hybrid token that is both like a spot token and a margin/futures token. So in that token, you basically buy an asset that, you know, is 2x or 3x the returns of what you would earn if you basically buy the real assets. So it's still a coin or a token, but it's leverage token, right? So this was something that we pioneered in terms of from the local perspective, because when we did it, there was no other indigenous African company that was offering leverage tokens. So that was something that was really great to see. And as expected, our users were super excited about it. And till today, use it on a very, very regular basis. So that product in itself was just geared to offering our users more services and the same level of excellence that they will find on any international exchange.
Thank you for sharing on that. It is I do hope that eventually it can reach me on this side of the world. I would really love to for it. It looks like quite an interesting product, but I'm very excited to have our Bankless Africa community have a go at it. Hopefully a lot more of them are already within the ecosystem. So it's quite exciting to see. Now on to our last few questions. Africa as a whole is, you know, we're the largest continent, but we never get the sense that there is actual movement when it comes to the use cases of crypto and all of that. But in places like, say, South America, where they also started off being heavy into peer-to-peer, but we see and we hear just how much that they're building, just how much they're building towards this or within this frontier. Where is the breakdown? What's the difference between how much work they're putting into, you know, building around the crypto ecosystem and what we're doing? Because, you know, I would vouch that we're doing quite a lot as well. Maybe not the same amount, of course, but I think we're doing quite a lot. But we don't seem to hear any of that.
Yeah, I strongly think that is changing, especially more recently. Because as I explained earlier, Africa is one of the right time in Africa, right? Basically, someone will say our time has come, right? So Africa is gradually being positioned as the next hub for any form of development in the world. The West has achieved a form of development that is quite high. The Asian continent has also done the same, largely. Right, but in Africa, it's still, you know, the next land that can give the room for the world to grow, right? It's just like if you grow to a certain point where you can no longer grow as fast as possible, an easy win would be to go to a place that is not as developed and go there and grow it exponentially to a point where, you know, these other guys were before. So the overall idea is, you know, things are changing. The continent is becoming more and more mature, and more so, the projects from the continent are gaining more and more maturity. You know, there are very few African, you know, projects that have coins, and even fewer of them are even listed on any international exchange, right? But all that, I believe, will change in the near future. And one of the things we would gradually begin to see is how African companies are, you know, playing in the same stage as any of the global, you know, contemporaries would be. So we are getting there. Builders are coming. Investments are coming as well. As you've seen, almost everybody is raising money in Africa today. So it's gaining more and more attention. It was a lot difficult to raise money 5 years ago as an African, right? I'm not talking of Black American. I'm talking as an African guy, you know? So it was difficult, right? Now it's a lot easier because guys like Flutterwave and, you know, cheaper cash, they become unicorns, and, you know, people now realize that, wow, this is actually possible in this continent. Okay, so the change is already started. What we just need to do as a continent is to double down on the efforts. You know, we need more builders taking advantage of the opportunities. We need more people who would, you know, put themselves forward to lead and to push the continent forward, because nobody will build Africa for us. We have to build it ourselves, right? So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Where would you say we can find those builders? Are you of the mind that it should be people who went to school for, say, coding or software development or anything of that sort? Or do you think it's more a, you know, kind of industry experience, or maybe just a genuine curiosity? Where can we find the builders?
Builders are everywhere. What makes you a builder is not what you've built before, is what vision you can see, right? It's as a man thinketh in his heart that he is, right? So one of the things that, you know, that changed for me was I began to see possibilities at every problem I look at, right? So the people that would choose to see an opportunity where there is a problem are the builders that we need, right? The skills you need are not found in the four walls of the university. That's why a lot of the founders of a lot of crypto companies and tech companies in Africa today are dropouts, right? So it's not about the formal education. In fact, today, a lot of companies and myself hardly look at, you know, what master's degree do you have before we get someone in. The most important thing is, what can you do, right? And a bulk of the work, even back then, a bulk of the work we did were not learned in school, was learned from YouTube and free courses we see here and there, right? So there is an abundance of information on the web, and that's also a problem. You know, it's like going to borrow 20 books and not ending up reading anyone, right? So information overload is a problem, right? But at the same time, it takes a lot of diligence and consistency to build anything, right? So this is just a general call to, like, everyone out there who has, you know, something in mind that, you know, they want to see come to life. There is no other person that will bring it to life. And if you don't, another person will have that vision and bring it to life. That's why you come and say, oh, you know, that was my idea. That guy stole my idea. He didn't steal your idea. You know, I wanted to do this thing. I saw it. Yes, you did, but you didn't act. Right? There's no monopoly on you know, vision. If you don't, someone else will, really.
This is 100% fact. I know I've cried one or twice, you know, about how I thought of something, but I never did it. And now there was somebody else or a bigger company doing it. And I was like, man, I could have, you know, I could have, should have, would have. But until you take that step to actually do the thing, it doesn't really count. You know, it just counts as you felt the vision, but you dismissed it. And it is what it is, unfortunately. Now, we cannot, however, deny that it's not easy to get started as a result of, you know, lack of access. But I guess this is where infrastructure comes in to say, something as simple as internet access for a lot of people is what holds them back when it comes to experimenting in this space. And for other people, it's just genuine disposable income. And unfortunately for some, they still feel that, or it still makes much more sense for you to go to school and find a more corporate aligned job and then be able to permeate and do whatever it is that you do. So however it is your journey is taking you, be in your journey, be present in it, and take advantage of whatever opportunity it is that you can find, because there are no rules in terms of, you know, who can become who. We can all become innovators in the space. We can all be builders. It depends on us now. You know, it's the onus is on us to actually take it upon ourselves to build and to find our own solutions. Because I think one thing that crypto has taught us is that because we're still so early in the beginning, you're not going to have another country concerned about what you as a country or you as a continent are doing. They're more concerned about themselves. So if they can figure out how to sort themselves out, maybe with the in the future, they can figure you out. But for now, it's kind of an unfortunate every man for themselves. So I would say as a continent, we need to take this opportunity to find our solutions for our problems, because we cannot wait for a different group of people to try to solve for us, because that might take too long. And I think we're all tired of waiting now. It's about time we took center stage and we declared that we are here to stay and we're here to grow as well, just along with the rest of the world. Now, in closing off this phenomenal double segment, I'd like to first thank you again for allowing me to pick your brain on a lot of these topics. I do think that, you know, there's always a lot more that Binance can do potentially with Bankless Africa. And I'm very excited to possibly have those conversations in the future. But I'd like to hear from you three words about how you feel about the entire space, be it specifically crypto or blockchain or Web3. Just something that for you summarizes how you're feeling about where we're at, you know, especially off the back of the merge, which I think was it was one of those subtle but phenomenal moments that kind of, it felt revolutionary, even though you may not see something physical as yet, but it feels like we're in a new leg of the journey. What three words would you give about that?
I think it's an exciting time to be alive, to be honest.
Exciting time to be alive. It's 5 words, but I'll take it. It is quite phenomenal to see everything that Bundle is doing, everything that Binance is doing. It is an honor to be able to speak with you, and thank you to you and your team. We at Sasungwe, we're hoping to see more updates from everything it is that you're building, you know. And it's also, as a person who lives so close to a country like South Africa, every time, you know, when I hear all the news about what it is that Binance is doing in South Africa, it gives one hope that it's getting closer to home. It's just next door now. They just need to just toss us in there and just be like, come along now. Kudos on that. But for me and the Bankless Africa team, thank you again so much for all the time. And I hope to speak to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for spending another episode with me. Just a reminder that none of what we share is financial advice, only opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and give us a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. We are our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, keep innovating.